Globally, for you, it's my prayer. May you keep ascending, success, staring, success, staring.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that a person who sends one time durood or salutation or salawat upon me, Allah azza wa jal sends 10 mercies upon him. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Salatan wa salaman alayka ya sayyidi ya rasulullah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya habiballah. There was a question that was asked to Ala Hazrat radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that a husband orders his wife to do something and the time is such that she has to perform her salah, her namaz, and if she follows the instructions of her husband, then there will be no time left to perform salat. What should the wife do in this situation? Should she perform salat, or should she follow the instructions of her husband? Ala Hazrat radiyallahu ta'ala anhu replied, she must perform salat. And it is haram for her to follow such order of her husband, which would not give her chance to perform her obligatory duty, that is to perform salat. And at another occasion, Ala Hazrat radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was asked, if a woman wants to go for Hajj, and because of some reason or some excuse, husband does not allow her to go on Hajj, can she go on Hajj without the permission of her husband? Ala Hazrat radiyallahu ta'ala anhu replied, if there is mahram to go with her, maybe her brother or father or somebody in the family who qualifies as mahram for her, and Hajj has become fard upon her, Hajj has become obligatory upon her, in other words, all the conditions of Hajj are met, then she will definitely go for Hajj. Otherwise not. It means that if conditions are not fulfilled, if there is no mahram, then she will not go on Hajj. So we understand from this ruling of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat radiyallahu ta'ala anhu that yes, wife will follow the instructions of her husband, providing no law of Sharia is violated in this process. But if husband orders her to do something, and if she fulfills that order, and an obligatory ibadat is being violated, or it will go against the laws of Sharia, then she does not need to follow the order of her husband. Another misunderstanding and misconception mostly comes up. To what extent one can fulfill the duty of Amr bil Ma'roof and Nahi anil Munkar? And that is to invite towards the path of goodness and to prohibit from evils. Some people feel that you have to do at every occasion, at any cost, you must say the truth. And others feel, well, it's not my business. So if people are doing wrong, let them carry on. It's their life and they will have to face on the day of judgment. So there are conflicting feelings in this regard. So inshallah azza wa jal, we will try to remove this misunderstanding as well. It is mentioned in Fatawa Alamgiri that there are several ways to do Amr bil Ma'roof. There are different conditions and Nahi anil Munkar. If person has strong presumption, strong feeling, that if I give them neki ki da'wat, if I do Amr bil Ma'roof, people will accept my invitation and they will refrain from sinning. So in this situation, in this condition, it is wajib, means it is necessary for that person to give neki ki da'wat, to do Amr bil Ma'roof, to invite towards the path of goodness. In other words, he does not have permission from Sharia to ignore that duty or that invitation or that da'wat. And if he has a strong feeling that if I give neki ki da'wat, if I do Amr bil Ma'roof, people will start assassinating my character. They will talk ill about me and they will swear at me. In this situation, it is better not to give neki ki da'wat, not to do Amr bil Ma'roof, not to invite them towards the path of goodness. Similarly, if he feels that people might hit him or harm him or punish him, and he will not be able to bear that harm and that punishment, and there will be animosity amongst each other, and a fitna and a mischief can be caused, and the fight can break between people. So in this situation as well, it is afdal, it is better that one should not do Amr bil Ma'roof or neki ki da'wat. And if he feels that if I do neki ki da'wat, if I do Amr bil Ma'roof, people will harm me, but I have the ability to face this harm and I will not complain to anyone, I will bear this difficulty, then he can continue with Amr bil Ma'roof and Nahi anil Munkar. In this situation, he would be regarded as Mujahid, a person who strives in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. And if he strongly feels that people will not listen to him, but they will not react harshly towards him, then in this situation, he has an option whether he do Amr bil Ma'roof and Nahi anil Munkar or he does not do. He has the option. But if he does Amr bil Ma'roof and Nahi anil Munkar, that is afzal, and he will get sawab for that. Sayyidi Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Rahmatullah Ta'ala says, to give neki ki da'wat, to call people towards the path of goodness and to stop them from evil, which is Amr bil Ma'roof and Nahi anil Munkar, it is from the obligatory duties of a Muslim, which is proven with the verses of Quran-e-Kareem. And when it is proven that it is wajib for someone, all circumstances are right, and he feels that when he will speak about it, people will listen to it, then to leave this responsibility and not to do amr bil ma'ruf and nahi anil munkar, that would be a sin. And this person would be regarded as disobedient person to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he deserves the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dunya and in the hereafter. And in ahadith mubarakah, this meaning has been explained. Ala Hazrat radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says. He further says that on Ashab-e-Sabat, those were the people of Bani Israel who were stopped from fishing on Saturday, and they made schemes and they were still fishing with another style. So Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam made dua that, O Allah, curse them, send your la'nat upon these people and make them as a lesson, as a ibrat for people. And because of the dua of Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam, they all were turned into monkeys, into apes. And Hazrat Isa alayhi salam made dua against Ahle Maida, and they were turned to swines and pigs. Hazrat Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu reports that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, be away, by Allah, you will have to do amr bil ma'roof and you will have to do nahi anil munkar. Otherwise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will throw hearts of some of you on the hearts of some others. It means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make everybody's heart similar to each other, that none of you or none will take evil as evil. And that is the worst condition of a person, when he does not regard evil as an evil. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send his curse upon you as he sent his curse upon Bani Israel. But this order of neki ki da'wat, this amr bil ma'roof and nahi anil munkar, is not wajib or not necessary upon every person, or it is not necessary in every condition. As it was explained earlier, that if you are in that position that you strongly feel and you believe that you have an authority, people do respect you and they do listen to you, then it becomes your responsibility to give neki ki da'wat, to invite them towards the path of goodness and stop them from evil. And if that is not your position, then the other situations were explained, and if you fit in one of them, then you don't have to do neki ki da'wat. So that was also misconception, because some people feel that you have to do in every situation amr bil ma'roof and nahi anil munkar, and some feel that you don't have to do at all. It's not our business, so let people do, they are free, they decide what they want to do. So as a Muslim, we have set rules for that, because our life is regulated. Sharia, our deen, has regulated everything about us, about our life, about our doings. There's another misconception and misunderstanding regarding the wealth of son. Does the wealth of son belongs to father? In many cultures, fathers feel that whatever their sons earn, it belongs to them, and they interfere in their financial matters, and they decide what to do with the money which the son has earned. So in this regard, there was a question asked to Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that Zayd is a rich person, he's wealthy, and he collects the earning of his son by telling him that I will use this money in your wedding. But afterward he uses that money for his personal needs. So in this situation, will there be any penalty on Zayd? Or will it be regarded that his son's wealth is his wealth, so that is okay? So this was the question. Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala anhu replies, undoubtedly he has to pay penalty for that. And if he used the wealth of his son without his pleasure, without his permission, then he will be a sinner as well. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in Quran Kareem, وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ, that do not eat each other's wealth unjustfully. And as far as that Hadith Mubarakah is concerned, which people use, and that becomes the cause of misunderstanding for some people. And the Hadith Mubarakah is, أَنْتَ وَمَالُكَ لِأَبِيكَ, you and your wealth belong to your father. So Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala says that this hadith is not used as a law. Rather, this hadith mubarakah is to give motivation, to give targheeb of ihsan and bhalai, means doing good towards your parents, being nice towards your parents. And there's motivation that you should spend your wealth to comfort your parents. But this is not a law, that whatever the son earns, it belongs to father. And it is mentioned in Fathul Qadir that father does not have such right that he takes ownership of the earnings or the wealth of his son while the son is living. The father does not have permission to have control of the wealth of his son. All these references which we have given, it makes it very clearly. However, if father is poor, he is faqir, he is muhtaj, and the son is wealthy, then it is the responsibility of the son to maintain his father, mean give him money which is necessary for his survival. So if son does not give, the father has the right to take it, whether the son agrees or he does not agree, because now he is taking his right, his haq, which Sharia has given to him. So this was another misunderstanding which we have discussed and tried to remove. Then there is a situation that some people, they are powerful, they are fighters, they cause fear amongst people, they threaten, and sometimes they take other people's wealth, property by force, and somehow they feel it is justifiable, and they feel in this world, you, if you have to live, you have to act powerful, you have to act strong, otherwise people would not let you live properly. And they have these types of thoughts and beliefs and feelings, and this way they oppress others. So let's learn rulings regarding these matters and try to remove this misconception and misunderstanding. A question was asked from Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So what is the ruling regarding that person who threatens his friend and he takes money from him and he says that if you do not give me your wealth, I will harm you, or I will hurt you, he makes it difficult for people. Or he has a connection with someone powerful or ruler or someone in police, etc. And he shows his might to people and people are scared of him because he can get away with a murder. So what is the ruling regarding this person? Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh says as an answer to this question, that a person who deceives, who cheats, or he threatens other people, he causes fear amongst people, and then he takes wealth from them, money from them, their property. And if he takes it because of force, because of might, then that is ghasab. Ghasab means that is regarded as he has snatched that property from that person. And if he takes their wealth because of causing fear in them of his evil, then that is a bribery. And both the way, whether he uses might or he causes fear and then he takes the money, so whether it is ghasab or rishwat, that is haram and it leads to Jahannam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ. Do not eat each other's wealth, money, unjustfully. And it is mentioned in Hadith Mubarakah that on the Day of Judgment, a worst person as far as the status is concerned will be that person from whose tongue or from whose evil people used to fear. So now those who feel that they're very powerful and they cause fear amongst people, they must know that they also have to die one day. And then they will be the worst on the Day of Judgment. And also there is very serious information regarding these people. It is mentioned in Hadith Mubarakah that those who oppress other people or unjustfully they take people's property, their wealth, their money, they are illegitimate. They are born out of wedlock. And also it's mentioned that zina is included in their birth. So a person who oppresses other people, who causes fear, who threatens, he's actually announcing, he's actually telling people that there is something wrong in my nasab. There is something wrong in my process of birth. So it's very serious matter and it's very important issue for people to know, so they must not get involved with these type of things. Another misunderstanding and misconception people have, people feel that if we live as a family, it is our life. Whether we do right or wrong, it's nobody's business. And nobody is judge. And if someone tries to educate them and tell them, don't do this, don't do that, this is wrong, that is wrong, this is haram, that is haram, so they come up very quickly to say that you are being judgmental. And these days, especially in Western culture, you know, being judgmental is similar to a swearing word. So you tell someone that you are being judgmental, so they will immediately say, no, I'm not being judgmental. So as if it is a very bad thing or very bad quality. Well, there's an issue that as a family, what we do at home, as husband and wife and as children, So we allow our family, our children to continue doing wrong things, watching movies, dramas, dance, or partaking in haram things. So Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala writes that to see something which is najais, which is haram, is also haram. And if you take your children, your wife, to show something which is haram in Islam, that act is also haram. So that father is committing that haram. So to take your family to theaters where there are music, where there is dance, where there are shameless things happening, and to take your women to such gatherings, it is an act of shamelessness and it is haram. So Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala says that it is mentioned in Khulasa and in Durar that if a husband gives permission to his wife to do something unlawful, then the husband and wife both would be sinners. And if na'uzu billah, he takes this act as okay or not prohibited or Islam allows that, then this is a corruption in aqidah. And that is more serious, and sometimes it can lead to kufr as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all Muslims from these thoughts and these types of feelings. Then there's another issue, that to what extent fathers must look after their children. Sometimes children are grown up, they baligh, and they feel the fathers must still foot the bill and they must still give them money. So in this regard, we need to understand to what extent Sharia makes it necessary for the father to give naan or nafqa or to maintain or give maintenance money for the children. A question was asked from Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that a person who cuts off ties with his children, and when they are sick, he does not see to them, and he does not give money for their treatment, and he does not worry about their maintenance, and after they die, he does not partake in the funeral, nor he gives any money for funeral expenses. So what is the shari'i ruling? What is the hukm regarding this person? Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala explains. If the maintenance of children was necessary upon the father, for example, the child is nabaligh, child has not reached to the age of puberty, or there is a daughter, she is unmarried, or there is a baligh son, but he is unable to earn, he has not learned those skills yet which he can use to earn the money. And in this situation, if he did not give maintenance to the children, then he has committed a grave sin, a serious sin. And if according to Sharia, maintenance was not necessary upon the father, for example, if the daughter is married, or there is baligh son who is able to earn, and if now father doesn't give money, there is no sin upon the father. And as far as the treatment is concerned, it is not wajib or necessary upon the father. It is not necessary for him to do his own treatment. So let alone taking responsibility of someone else. So this tells us that extra what the father does is his favor, is his ihsan. If he pays your doctor fees, if he pays your bills for hospitals, if he pays your fees for your education, for your school and university, that is his favor, that is his ihsan. This is not made compulsory upon him by Sharia. Yes, if children are disobedient and they do not stop from being disobedient towards the father, ma'azallah, they have become bad mazhab, they have corrupted beliefs, and if because of that father leaves them, now there is no accountability on the father, because this cutting of tie has happened from the children, not from the father. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one of his sons, he said something which was objectionable according to Sharia. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu did not speak to him in his whole life. That means he cut ties with him because one of his sons said something which was against Sharia. And Hazrat Maulana Rum rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh did not attend the funeral of one of his sons who spoke ill about Hazrat Shams Tabriz. Hazrat Shams Tabriz radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the spiritual mentor, was the pure murshid of Hazrat Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. So he did not even participate, he did not even partake in the janazah of his own son, because his son, what he did, he actually cut tie with his father. So there is no fault of the father, this is the fault of the son. So if that is the situation, then it's a different scenario. But basically, the maintenance of nabalik children, or there is a daughter who's unmarried, or if there is balik son who is unable to earn yet, his maintenance is necessary upon the father. And one very major misconception and misunderstanding people have is that about saghira sin, about the small sin. People feel, well, it is a small sin, it doesn't matter, let's continue. Actually, when person does not repent from saghira sin and he does it continuously, that becomes kabira. Hazrat Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala reports that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that no saghira, no small sin remains small sin after repeating it continuously. That means if you keep on repeating a saghira sin, it becomes kabira. Let's take an example. If there's a small spark of a fire, and if it is not extinguished, then what happens? It becomes a big fire, it becomes a huge fire, and it can burn the whole house. So if you see a small spark of a fire, you will try to kill it with the fear that it might become a big fire, it might destroy our whole home and our place. So we must think that way, that small sin, if it is not left, if person does not disassociates from that sin, if he does not repent, then that becomes kabira, and when it becomes kabira, that can destroy the person. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, we tried to remove some misunderstandings, some misconceptions, and we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us proper and thorough understanding of Sharia, of Quran and Hadith, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let us practice upon these beautiful teachings of our deen. آمین بجاہ النبی الامین صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم. صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. صلاۃ و سلام علیک یا سیدی یا رسول اللہ وعلی آلک و اصحابک یا حبیب اللہ.
مبلغ for you it's my prayer, may you keep ascending success stair.